right. Thank you, Brother Bert. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. We're going to continue in the Sunday school lesson. We've been in the book of Revelation a while, and somebody's asked me, well, you're going to become pastor emeritus. You're going to finish the book of Revelation. Yeah, planning on it. Somebody said he's going to finish it maybe just before the Lord comes. Truthfully, I wish he would before I do. Amen. I like what the McBrides were singing earlier, that he'd been singing that song a long time, but looking at the circumstances of the world today, it looks like it's closer than ever before, don't it? Why don't you go to Revelation chapter 13? We've been in it a while, but it's such an important chapter. I'm going to summarize a lot because I do plan, I'm trying to anyway, after they finish with me today, my wife and I are planning on doing something we've never done much of, and that's trying to take a little vacation. And the more closer I get to trying, the more I find out it's got to be done before I can leave. So you know how that goes, I guess. But I will remain, according to Brother Parsons has asked me to remain, as the main auditorium Bible class teacher. Brother Perkins and perhaps some others will help me out on that, and I certainly do appreciate that. And we are going to try to take off a couple of weeks anyway, and I'm joking with the church a little bit. My wife and I, through the years, have hardly taken any vacations. I've tried to con her a few times into thinking a Bible conference was a vacation, but she's hard to fool. And it didn't work too well, but we're actually going to try to go somewhere where they're necessarily not going to work me. Amen. I hope for a little while anyway. And we appreciate you folks letting us do that. My Brother Parsons coming as the main pastor, it will allow me to stay and work some in the church and be with you folks. And so we praise the Lord for that, though he will be the head pastor, and if anything goes wrong, you blame him, not me, right? All right, all joking aside, God's blessed us to have a man that's of the same philosophy and doctrine that we are and can step right in and keep things going. Revelation chapter 13, I want to summarize a little bit again. We are in some trying times in our world today, and yet the Bible wrote it all ahead of time. The Bible said, Paul said to Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times would come. Boy, they have come. And for those that have been living for the Lord very long, reading the Bible and studying and seeing, and then seeing the news today, we see the fulfillment. So plain, and yet the world don't seem to see it. In fact, in many cases, they seem to think it's good when it's bad. Amen? Chapter 13, in the midst of the 22 chapters here of Revelation, deals with some characters I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. They're called beasts. Now, in the Bible, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, government sometimes is referred to as beast, and governments often do act like beasts. I've said this before. If you look at the flags or the emblems of almost every nation on earth, it's always a ferocious beast that represents them. Kind of interesting. Russia, it's the bear. England, it's the lion. Even America, it's a bird of prey, the eagle. And don't think that's just a bird. I saw a little documentary on TV where in some parts of the world where they are taking care of their animals and so forth, the wolves come after the sheep and so forth, they have trained eagles to attack the wolves. And I actually saw where two eagles attacked a great big wolf and killed him instantly, all on camera. So the eagle is not a dove. Amen. And so we see the nations represented well in the Bible when they're spoken of as beasts. And also these men in chapter 13 are represented that way also. So I'm going to point out to you there's two characters that show up in this chapter 13. One is one we call the false prophet. The other is called by many names in the scripture, and most Christians know it by the title of the Antichrist. I've said this so much, anti means against, but it can also mean counterfeit, a faker. And I believe this fellow will be both. And as we are hearing so much in the news today, we're getting so close to the cashless society. I don't know about you, but quite a few places I've had to go to in the last number of months, I've had to ask them up front, do you take cash? Some of them don't. They want you to use a card. They want you to use a number. And we're seeing that everywhere. And this chapter tells us that when this fellow comes and his kingdom is set up, his government is set up, when he rules the world, you're going to have his number. You're going to have his mark to buy or to sell. That's the last verses here of the chapter. And there's a lot of speculation who he'd be. Now, we're looking for Jesus, not the Antichrist, if we're saved. But I want to tell you something. If the saved folks are caught out, like the McBrides were singing about the rapture a while ago, you're going to find out real quick who the beast is, the Antichrist is. His kingdom is, I say it right now, his system is well greased and working today. The only thing missing is the man himself that's going to be in charge of it. And so, well, you're trying to scare me. Well, if you're not saved, you ought to get scared. Things are not going to continue like you've always known them to. There's going to be some sudden changes coming on planet Earth. According to the Word of God, and by the way, it's proven itself through history, whatever the book says comes about. So many instances we could give you right here in the book of Revelation. It tells us of a time that there'll be two preachers, two witnesses that show up in the streets of the city of Jerusalem. And their preaching will torment the hearers. You know, we've come to a day and age now where there's a big crowd out there that's tormented by preaching the Word of God at them. We see that all the time. They're making laws against the church, shutting down churches where they can, and everything else. There's an anti-Christ spirit ruling even now, very, very obvious to see today. But there'll be a time, there'll be two witnesses show up in the streets of Jerusalem. They'll be supernaturally protected until they get through with their preaching, and then the Antichrist will be able to kill them. But an interesting thing, people hundreds of years ago read these verses, and they thought, when it says in the book of Revelation, the whole world will see these witnesses. How could that be? Well, you and I don't have to be puzzled about it at all, do we? Anything can happen anywhere on planet Earth, and it's on the satellite TV in the evening news. These men will torment the whole world with their preaching because they'll be televised. All the electronic stuff that's going on today. And so when the miracle takes place and they're killed and they hate them so bad, boy, we've seen a period of hate in our country that we've never experienced before. But this hate's going to be so great that they won't even pick them up and bury them. They're going to let them lay in the streets, and the cameras go. They're probably going to say something like this. This is the two that said they'd rise again. And they're going to keep the cameras on them. And then when they do rise, great fear is going to fall on the sinners. I'll tell you what, we're living in a day of fear now, but brother, it's going to be worse then. And they're going to ascend up to heaven, to the Lord, and the whole world's going to see them. Now, 100 years ago, 200, 500, 1,000 years ago, that was written, more than that, 2,000 years ago. And people could say, how in the world can the whole world see them? Well, you and I know, we have seen it fulfilled. We have moved near the end. Many other things. That's just one example of the fulfillment of what the Word of God said would be has already come to pass. So as we look at the characters here in chapter 13, I'm especially dealing with the two beasts now. It says that there's one coming and the whole world's going to worship him whose names are not written. This is verse 8 of chapter 13. Whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, a good question to ask yourself, is my name in the book of life? In the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus. If you know him as your Savior, the book contains your name. If you don't, it don't. And this beast is going to show up, and people are going to worship him if their names, if they're not saved, they're going to worship him. And the Lord gives warning here in verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. And down in verse 11, it says, behold, I held another beast. So this is number two now. Number one, and another one comes up. Now, they're not in competition, but they're, anybody know this Greek word, cahoots? All right, I'm joking with you, but they're in cahoots, they're a team. They got a plan, they're working together, amen? And this other one shows up. He's got two horns like a lamb, but he's not a lamb. Says he spake as a dragon. We're going to find out, and we already have found out, the dragon in the book of Revelation is the devil, the old red dragon. And he's the devil. He's the power behind these two men, and they are men, even though they represent a system. One of them a government system, the other one a religious hierarchy or system. And so this second one here is the religious one, the false prophet. It is amazing today how men in government positions doing wrong often like to have religious people come in and pray and speak well of them. You hear a lot of elections, a lot of politicians, you'll hear them say, God bless you. You hear very few say anything about Jesus Christ. There is a big difference there. And this is where it's going to be. This religious system is going to endorse the Antichrist. See it right here, and it says, this Antichrist is one way you'll know him. I hope you're not left here. I hope you're saved. I hope you go out in the rapture that Brother Brian was singing about. But if not, I want to tell you how to recognize the Antichrist. There'll probably be an assassination attempt. He'll probably lose an eye, and he'll lose use of one arm. Say, how you know? Because the book of Zechariah chapter 11 tells me. He's called the idol shepherd over there. And the whole world will wonder at him because he's going to have the wound and yet live. A wound, as Scripture says here, unto death. Should have died, but he didn't. And so the world's going to wonder at him, and the religious leaders say, going to say he's supernatural. He's of God. And the whole world is going to be deceived by he and the false prophet. And interesting days. Some stuff is slipping out from time to time that we hear about today that sounds impossible, but look how much sounded impossible not too long ago that we know about now. There is some big religious systems in the world. You've got Islam, you've got Catholicism, you've got Hinduism, you've got, you name a bunch of them. By the way, Christianity is a religion, but religion is not Christianity. There's a difference. There's a difference. And a lot of folks know how to go through religious rites and ceremonies and say religious things and even sing religious songs. But those that really know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a different. And the Bible says the Lord knows those that are his. He knows us, John chapter 10. And just being religious don't get you to heaven. In fact, it's one of the best ways to go to hell on the religious slide board, thinking you're all right when you're not. And I've had so many say, well, my church is taking care of that. No, that's impossible. It's personal between you and the Lord. Not your church, not your pastor, not your priest, just Jesus and you. That's the only way. As we think about this religious leader coming, representing powerful religion in the world, a religion that even today, about the only one that's accepted by the news media, that the religious leader of today, whatever he says, is in the news immediately. You notice that. Many of you might not know, and you have maybe heard me say it, out in Arizona, on one of the mountaintops, I don't know how high a mountain, but on a hill, they have an observatory with a big telescope. That telescope was not put up there by the federal government, but put up there by a religious order, put up there by the Vatican that is located over in Italy. It's been there a long time, a few years, They say it's almost as big as the Hubble telescope that we talk about in space. So we ask the question, why would the Vatican want such a telescope scanning the space? That's been asked of them, and they're not talking about it too much, but the answer has come back, and it is in print. The answer is we're looking for E.T. Now, some of you are more up to date with the movies than me, but E.T., extraterrestrial, right? And I seen that little creepy-looking fellow that made the movie. I saw that they advertised. Felt like I ought to step on him for a bug or something. But anyway, E.T. E.T.'s coming. They kind of did it lighthearted-like. We were watching for E.T., an extraterrestrial. Of course, if you watch any late-night TV on some of the UFO programs, you probably more up-to-date on it than me. But the Pope himself made a statement that's quite interesting. Now, he might have been doing it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but he said, we might be surprised to find out that Jesus himself was a star child. Now, the Bible warns about deception. It warns about false Christ, counterfeit Christ. Now, when this Antichrist shows up, we're expecting him, and we may be right. He may come up through political ranks or religious ranks somewhere, but some even believe he may be somewhat alien or a mixture. I'm talking a little theory now, a little Twilight Zone for you. But that he just might show up, and if there was a big religious leader and a big government leader says, this is the man, I wonder how many would fall for it. As I look at the COVID thing across the world, I think the world would fall for it. That's what I think. And you think about this just a minute. And this come out in the news, I just heard about it in the last week or two, where there's a little push on through some religious leaders to even say to Israel, who is still looking for their Messiah, that he might be alien. So we got some interesting talk going on. Now, I know most of you carry that little old spaceship in your hand called a phone, and you gather all the garbage that they put out on the wire. And boy, I have had some folks come to me with stuff off that thing. Somebody said, I can't believe the Bible. I'd believe it a lot easier than I'd believe that stuff that's coming off that thing. I'll tell you that. But it sure is fooling a lot of people. Well-meaning people. And I think, how in the world can you believe that? And then I think we're in the age of deception. We got a spirit of deception working out there everywhere you look. So in this chapter, two characters, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet that points to the beast and says, worship him. Worship him. And you reckon alien would be accepted by the news media. See, we've come to this day and time, and you hear it a lot in this COVID area, follow the science. The Bible says something about science. King James Bible says something about science. Not the others. They cut it out. But the King James Bible warns about science, falsely so-called. If we ever lived in an age when science is falsely so-called, it is now. You know, I read this Bible. It's been the same all the time. It don't change. But science changes all the time. Even one of the lead doctors that everybody's listening to, he's come out on both sides of the mass thing. He's come out on both sides of this, that, and the other. Now, you know, if a preacher does that, he gets branded quick, don't he? But isn't it amazing how the science world can switch on you so fast? If you want to read something funny, get the latest science books of 100 years ago. In fact, you don't have to go back that far, even 50 years. They've changed so much. But 100, 500 years ago, they were writing the latest science. You can go over to how many miles is the shelf long in Paris, Kevin, a mile or two long with all the books, the old books, the big library. You dig out the science books. There was a time, you'd read in the science book, how that if you squashed up scorpions and some others and rubbed it on your head, it'd grow hair. Now, if he's still alive, he'll grow your head bigger, I'll tell you that. But that was the latest science. You can read in there where you could take some eels and squash them up and make a mixture and put it in your eyes and it would cure your eyesight. Wouldn't try that. I did read one thing there where it said it would cure alcoholism, and that was if you'd mix up the eels and some of the other stuff and drink it. I thought, yeah, it'll kill you. You won't, never want another drink after that one. That was latest science. It's still written. The books are still there. Our first president, George Washington, the latest science killed him. He probably had the flu like we've been having. And back then, the latest science was you get bad blood, you drain it out. I've told you this before, but I know you got short memories. Brother Skip, you remember the barber pole outside the barber shop? Skip's retired barber. It's red and white circle, remember? Well, that didn't have nothing to do with a haircut unless it was a bloody barber. Amen. What it had to do with, you go to the barber shop, not only get your hair cut, you could get bled. You could bleed the blood out. So that's why that pole's got the stripes around it. And people did. Go pay to let the latest science drain some bad blood out. Well, they kept draining George Washington until they drained too much. He died. Now, if it went by the Bible, they'd have done just the opposite, which they do just the opposite today. They give you blood. They don't take it. But the latest science said bleed the bad blood out. And they did. But the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, science didn't know that at that time. How long ago has that been? Not all that long. I saw out in California this week where some of the schools named after George Washington, President Washington, and Abraham Lincoln, schools that was named after them, now they got to take the name off the schools to be politically correct and not offend anybody. It's amazing, folks, where we have moved to in our country today. But with that said, this fellow is going to show up to be worshiped. He's going to be wounded and live. The religious leader is going to point to him and say, worship him. And as we are seeing today, he may be supernatural in some sense. He's the devil's man. And could he be alien? Now, I'm going to give you a little more Twilight Zone. Suppose one of those saucers lands and all the cameras are on him. All the armies are gathered in case they're hostile. An invasion. Are we afraid of an alien invasion? All that talk. But then he walks down the steps of the saucer and says, I'm your savior. Look at the nail prints in my hand. You say, that's far out. Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying to you, this world's ripe for such deception as that. What in the world are they doing with a big observatory on top of a mountain with a powerful, expensive, millions and millions of dollars worth of equipment out there to watch for what's coming? I want to tell you, you're not going to need that to see Jesus. Bible says every eye's going to see it. Oh, God can arrange that without a telescope. Amen. And we're nearing that time. Book of Revelation, way ahead of the current news, way ahead of it. Reading on, and we get down to the very last verses of chapter 13, it tells us about the system. It says in verse 16 of chapter 13, he causeth all, both small, great, rich, poor, free and bond. And by the way, there's some across the world in bondage now to slavery, not only white slavery and not only Islam buying and selling slaves. It was in the news last night before, where some of the girls in the girls' school that had been captured a few years ago have finally got been rescued to come home to their parents. In other words, somebody paid the ransom. That's regular news, so it's still going on. It didn't just happen in the early days of America, but it's still going on across the world today. And even when this Antichrist shows up, there'll be some folks still in slavery on planet Earth, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And it's interesting today that the chips they're having, I talked to you about the Verichip Corporation here in Florida, and that's years old now. People having chips put in their pets, and a lot of humans now have chips on purpose. You can go get one, they say, in certain places. And so what would that mean? It mean you could walk in the store and you don't have to fumble for your card. All your information is there on the chip. And maybe it's a chip, it's a mark. It will leave a mark. I'll get a little deeper in Revelation later and we'll find out God may put his curse on that mark before it's over with and deal with it himself. But here, this is coming. It's going to be very, very convenient. Somebody said, I wouldn't take that mark. How many of you see lined up for a vaccine right now? You get people scared enough and they'll stand on their head and wiggle their ears. I'm sorry, but that's what I'm seeing so much of today. Spirit of fear that God commands us not to have. But we have it, even as God's people. And it's going to be greater. Oh, yes, they'll take the mark. Couldn't buy milk for your baby without the mark. You'll take it. Can't get your prescription filled without the mark. You'll take it. If you're here, you're going to face exactly what the Bible is talking about right here. Everybody's got a habit to buy or sell in their right hand or in their foreheads. I notice now when they give you the COVID check that they check your temperature right up here. Have you seen that on TV? And you walk in and get the check right there. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Some of you may have the mark already and don't know it. All right, I'm playing with you now. Rub that off. Take it off air. I have a facetious side to me. I know how it's going to be interpreted, but I got an itch about it. This makes me want to do it anyhow, to disturb people. I believe a preacher is not only called to comfort the disturbed, but disturb the comfortable. Amen. So I'm good at that sometimes. But people will line up out of necessity and out of fear, and they will take the mark just like the Bible says. I don't plan on taking it. I plan on being gone. I hope you are. I hope you understand what the singing about a while ago, gone in the rapture. Amen. Quickly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible said that's how fast it's going to be. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, not just a wink, but a twinkle. Sort of like when Billy met Susie and they both had a twinkle in their eye. Right? All right. Let's come on back to the verse here. In their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save or accept he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, I gave you a homework assignment. I had a show of hands last week. Some of you actually did it. I told you how Polycarp, who was the understudy of John the Revelator, wrote the book of Revelation, said that the mark would have to do with Latin. Latin is pretty much the basic language. You know that, don't you? I studied some boring science years ago, and I found out you couldn't get through to some of it unless you could understand a little bit of Latin, and I hated it, but I did the best I could with it. But if you go to the Latin or to the Roman numerals, and you add them up, they all add up to 666, right? Anybody do it? I gave you a homework assignment. Anybody add them up? Nobody. Oh, I did see a hand. Praise the Lord. All right. They will add up. This fellow's going to have a name, and if you take his name in Latin, as it were, it will add up to 666. Each letter has a numerical value to it. Other languages do also, Hebrew, Greek, English not so much. You can do it with English, but we use a separate system, of course. But it won't be all that hard to count up the man's name. Now, as believing Christians, we say that's bad. But when we're gone, they'll say, that's good. The switch is on now, if you've been paying any attention. So it says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666, or 666. Number of a man. We know from studying the numbers in the Bible that man's number is six. And yet here we're going to have a man whose name is going to total up to this. And he's going to be the ruler. I think he'll come in. We read Revelation chapter 6. He's going to come in on a peace platform. He's going to come in, as it were, to not have to win his position with a sword, but by vote. We've seen what can happen with the voting already. And so this fellow's going to find his way to the top, and he's going to find his way into power. He's going to have the endorsement of big religion, and he's going to take over in his system, and the whole world is going to wonder after him and say, who is like the beast? Who is like the beast? I want to say to you, my best advice is make sure you know not who the beast is, but who Jesus is. And you know him as your Savior, that you can be caught out before these bad things happen that seem to be getting so very close. All right, we're going to have about 7 or 8 minute break, and preaching service will be started. We have the restrooms back there, and I hope you'll stay with us, and others will come on in and join us. Thank you for coming.